And before we prepare to hear from the scripture, to hear from Reverend Karen on what God has placed on her heart, I invite y'all to join me in prayer. God of miracles, we have so much to be grateful for this morning. Thank you for this place that you have given us, for this time and this space where we can take a step away from the busyness and the craziness and even the normalcy and complacency of our everyday lives and step into a place that can be different, God, a place that exists almost outside of time, a place where through the work of your Spirit, through the connection to one another, through worship, the reading of Scripture, through prayer, through the love that we share and the relationships that we've built with each other, for some over decades and decades even, we can be made more aware of your presence. We can be brought closer to you. We can be inspired by the connection that we have to you, God, to live our lives in a way that's more open to your presence, more open to your joy, open to your justice and your mercy for us and for all of those around us. And so on this morning, God, help us connect to that gratitude again. May we live with an awareness of the blessings that we have in our lives, of the blessings of the gifts that we have in our lives. May we not so much focus on the things that detract from the joy that we have in life, but rather center our lives and our awareness on you in a way that we can be made more full in all things. So God, thank you for these people, for the wonderful leaders of this church, for Pastor JJ. We pray for his healing, God, and we're just so grateful that he is home and eagerly anticipate him coming back and being present with us once again. Lord, speak through Karen today. May the words that you have put on her heart and her reflection of this scripture inspire something in our hearts and minds and souls, that we may respond to these words in a way that draws us closer to you, so that we may be the people you've called us to be. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So friends, as Karen has already come up here, sneaky, she has asked me to read John chapter 8, verse 12. So hear this word from the Lord. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." These are holy words for holy people. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. It is such a joy, and there are more people, just like Jordan said. Poof, you show up. That's awesome. It is such a joy to be with you this morning and to celebrate with you that JJ's home and doing well. I just continue to praise God with you. I love how God moves, and I didn't know exactly what songs the band was going to sing or what Heather was going to do with children's time, and God is bringing all of these things together. Light and darkness and wind and water. These are things we can see and experience, and these are the very things that God uses everyday things to help us to understand and to expand our connection to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It is Trinity Sunday. And as we just heard Tyler say in the Gospel of John chapter 8, Jesus declares himself as light. "I am the light of the world," he said. But what we should also be hearing is echoes of Moses and God speaking through a burning bush. Do you remember? When Moses comes upon the burning bush and God is actually giving Moses God's own name, and God says, "I am who I am," or "I am that I am." And so when we hear Jesus speaking, we should hear him speaking with all capitals, "I am." "I am that I am, the light." But why light? This idea that Jesus is saying is that light and life are equal. Fullness of life, sozo life it is in the Greek. So why light? Well, as Heather reminded us in the beginning, right, God created the heavens and the earth. It says the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said that the light was good. You see, God separated light from darkness. Why? Well, they can't mix together. Darkness is the absence of light. Sure, there's colors and there's shades and shadows, but God brings the light, and with that, the fullness of life. For thousands of years, really, humanity has been talking about darkness and light, and one is good and one is bad. Chaos and darkness was bad scripturally. Light and order was good and associated with God and with Jesus. And so if we're going to be following and thinking about following the Spirit of God, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, then we need to step out of the darkness and into the light and be transformed by it. How do we learn to walk in the light? And so the story today is about a man named Nicodemus. You know the story. He comes to Jesus in the cover of darkness. He's a good man, but he's seeking Jesus. So we're going to read part of his story today. This is from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, but we're only going to read the first 9 verses for now. Listen for God's word. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying, at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. I want to stop for a minute there, because I have to say, I love and I hate how Jesus seems to be speaking so plainly, and yet it is so ambiguous. All at the same time, so many levels of what he's talking about. So I want us to not only hear what he's saying, but to know what's going on around it, what's happening. You see, Nicodemus, as we heard, is a member of the Jewish ruling council. And at this time in Scripture, even by chapter 3, the Jewish council and Jesus are at odds with one another. At the end of chapter 2, Jesus took a whip and cleared the temple, turning over the tables of the money changers. He drove them out. He declared he's going to tear down the temple and build it again in 3 days. He has done his first miracle. He has gathered his disciples. And yet here is Nicodemus, this Jewish Pharisee, coming to Jesus in the cover of darkness. I've always wondered, how late was it? Did he have to, like, get Jesus out of bed? Did he wake him up? We don't know. But he comes with questions. He's claiming that he understands that Jesus must be a man of God because of what he's seen Jesus do. That's important, right? Seeing what Jesus is doing. But then Jesus could have been mad about all of that, pulled out another whip maybe and drove him away. But instead he said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." In other words, he's saying, "Nicodemus, do you see? Do you understand?" But he didn't. Jesus goes on to say, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again, made new with water and the Spirit. Now, we might think about water with baptism. But really, what Jesus is talking about is the water inside the womb, being born of the flesh and being made new or born again by the Spirit, the very breath and wind and power of God breathed into us. But Nicodemus hasn't experienced that yet. And therefore, he doesn't understand, which I find comforting, by the way, because I always don't understand either. How do you believe in something that you haven't experienced? And even though he doesn't fully understand, Nicodemus is doing the next best thing. He's seeking. He's asking questions. He comes to Jesus searching. I believe he's seeking because God has somehow allowed him to see the good that Jesus has been doing, and God is nudging him. Have you all ever had a God nudge? Do you know what I mean by that, right? It sometimes feels as much like indigestion as anything else. Sometimes it's little things, like someone will come to my brain again and again and again, and I think as I'm driving or doing something else, oh yeah, I need to call them or text them. And when I finally do, because I'm slow, right, then I find out that maybe they've been sick or maybe a relative is dying and I get to go and pray with them. And I always think, oh God, I should listen and listen faster. They're God nudges. Other times it's a bigger nudge for me, like when I was still a school teacher. I taught high school for 6 years and then middle school for 4 years. They said it was going to be the same when they lied. Just saying. But we had moved from the Houston area to the Dallas to McKinney area, and I had gone again from high school to middle school, and I was doing that, and I just wasn't loving it there. But I also was always connected to youth ministry. My husband and I had volunteered as kind of a youth sponsor or whatever, and I had stepped into the interim volunteer youth director position at the job. Did I tell you I'm slow, right? And so I was doing this, and I called a friend of mine who worked with me at the school. Her husband was a pastor. He was actually planting a church in the school cafeteria where they were meeting there. And he had started in youth ministry. So anyway, I kind of called him and said, what can I do? I need to do work on this. I don't understand this. We chatted for a while, and then he started to say about what was happening at the church plant in the school cafeteria. And I found out that they were going to hire their first full-time staff position. Now, remind you, I went into the other room to talk to this man about the interim youth, part-time youth thing that I'm doing, right? But I came out, and I find my husband in the living room, and I simply said, honey, I think I could do this job. He's like, the youth position job at our church? And I said, oh, no. No, this full-time job at this church plant. I think I could do this. I don't know what happened in that conversation, but the indigestion started, right? I went and I interviewed, and I didn't get the job. It was February, and I thought, okay, God, it was just indigestion. But it didn't stop. I still wasn't loving my job. I won Teacher of the Year that year. I say that because I kept thinking, you people are crazy. I don't like my job. And I'm winning this thing. But you see, that's the way that the world does. It would have been a perfectly good excuse to keep teaching. I had already told the school I was leaving. And in May, the church called and said, we'd like you to be our full-time Christian educator. Would you come and do that job? And that began my road into vocational ministry. You see, God nudges. The question is, do we listen? Do we understand? Do we follow that nudge or not? I wonder what Nicodemus's indigestion felt like. What was it that prompted him to get up in the middle of the night or even sometime after dark and go and seek out this man named Jesus?
We're going to pick up with the story in verse 10. Remember, Nicodemus had just asked the question, how can this be? And Jesus replies, you're Israel's teacher and you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is huge. Jesus and Nicodemus have been talking in this ambiguous kind of way and pointing toward things that Nicodemus doesn't fully understand. And so Jesus does exactly what he says until you can experience it. How do you speak of things that you know? So Jesus went to the very thing that Nicodemus knew, Scripture. This whole strange image of Moses lifting up a snake on a pole comes from the book of Numbers, when they were out in the wilderness and there were snakes that were biting and stinging the people's feet and legs. And God told Moses to lift this thing up, give them something different to focus on, and they will be saved if they follow what I'm telling them to do. And in the same way, if we can look up and keep our eyes focused on Jesus. But he goes on to say more. It's more than just focusing on the things and following the directions. No, he goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Why did he give his Son? Not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through the love of Jesus. Last week we heard the story at Pentecost of the wind blowing, that Holy Spirit wind. That Holy Spirit empowered Peter and the other disciples who are hiding away in this other room to go out into the world and to speak boldly about Jesus. Nicodemus is seeking Jesus in the cover of darkness, but it reminds him and us that the wind blows wherever it will blow. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. You see, Jesus is saying the Spirit is still moving and blowing. We can see evidence of it, even if we don't see the Spirit itself. How we live our lives following the Spirit is a witness to the rest of the world. How we live our lives matters. Oftentimes, friends, we are the only scripture that the world will ever see in how we live our lives. So will you follow the Spirit, trusting that God will lead you? Will Nicodemus? We don't see Nicodemus for a little while in scripture, but he does come up again. Actually, if we keep listening to them talk, John 3:19-21 says this, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been in the sight of God." I would say not only in the sight of God, but in the sight of the world. Again, because how we live matters. I wish we could have heard all of the conversations with Jesus and Nicodemus. We don't. We see Nicodemus again in John chapter 7 when he's a little bit bolder and he's actually a part of the Jewish ruling council and he speaks up for Jesus, telling them that they can't just arrest him, they need to hear from him first. They didn't like that. They didn't listen. We don't see Nicodemus again until chapter 19 in the Gospel of John, after Jesus has already been crucified. And Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, I always have to slow down to say that word right, his name, they're taking Jesus' body down from the cross, the very place where it had been lifted up. And they're anointing his body with oil and wrapping him in cloth so that they can lay him in the tomb. We don't hear Nicodemus's words so much as we see his actions as he's moved from the cover of darkness into the light to speak up at the Jewish council and then to love Jesus so much that he would bring his body and care for it. You see, he lived what he believed. He wanted the world to see the light and the love that is Jesus. And so, sisters and brothers, light has come into the world. Amen? And we can choose to live in it, to move toward it, to seek God, even if we're not sure how it all works. Even if we don't fully understand, we make a decision to choose to follow Jesus or not. To love like Jesus or not. But as we come to the table later on today, I pray that you will be seeking to hear, maybe even to feel a little bit of that indigestion of God nudging you towards something, perhaps, that's bigger than you. Something that will allow the world to see the love and the light of Christ fully in you. So follow that Spirit, trust it, and walk in the light to be transformed. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And so, Holy Spirit, we say, blow in and through our lives once again for your love and light that is Christ into us. Fill us up and make us brave and bold to be the people you call us to be, in big ways or in small ways. Because in all that you do, Lord, it is so good. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are and for how you love. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.